This is Lisa Stone with Parenting Aces, and I'm in the media dining room at the U.S. Open with Mats Wielander. And Mats, thank you so much for being with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So Mats, you had a fantastic career on the professional tennis tour, but you were once a junior tennis player yourself. And so I want to ask you, as a junior player, what are the things that your parents did well, and what are some of the things that maybe they could have done better to help you as you came through?
What they did well, both of them, was that we never really talked about tennis at all, except other matches, other players, mainly professional players. My dad had this thing of he was always impressed by the fact that I would have won a match or won a set. And to the point, even into my professional career, he would say things like, I can't believe you beat that guy. And I would say, well, hold on, Dad. I'm ranked 3 in the world, and the guy's ranked 20. So I'm supposed to beat him. He said, yeah, but you don't understand. He's a good hardcore player, and he's 5 years older than you. And it nearly became to the point where I was trying to impress my dad with my tennis. And he would also call my coach every day and talk about practices and how's it going and whatever. And he would... So he would get the information, and he would say that same thing in practice. I can't believe you won the practice. I heard you won a set against this guy. It's the same thing. Well, I'm ranked 10 spots ahead of him in ranking, so I guess I'm just a better player than him. It's like, yeah, but he's a great player. He has a good forehand and whatever. So I always found that it was really a fun... It was actually the most fun phone call by far every day, was to speak to my dad about my match or about other matches, because he was so amazed by what I had done and my effort. And it was never any pressure. It was always such a great safety net that he made me feel like it really doesn't make any difference if you win or lose, but I will be impressed if you played well and won, of course. But it was never on the other side, so there was never any risk of him coming down on me or saying something. Sometimes told me I mustn't play the match because I was sick or injured or something. But, of course, he couldn't hold me off the court. So, just great support.
And so now you've transitioned from the juniors into this incredible career as a professional, and now you're coaching. You work with junior players. What are some of the really great things you see from parents, and what are some of the not-so-great things that you see?
The worst thing I see from parents is hovering. Is being there watching for 2 minutes and then not watching for 2 minutes, and walking around and being at one side of the court for 2 minutes and then going to the other side of the court for 2 minutes. If you're going to be there as a player, I think it's really important that they sit still, and so that the kid knows that, okay, there's my mom, there's my dad, and they're there. And then if you can, either have no reaction at all, or have a reaction that's appreciating the game of tennis that's being played in front of him. Not your daughter's or son's shot making, but the effort and the level of the game itself. But the worst is definitely when the parent is sort of trying to hide and being thinking that it's better that I'm 2 courts away. No, it's better that you're there and you're sitting there and you are applauding both players, but do not take sides. Taking sides is the worst thing possible for a kid, because if the kid for one moment looks up at the parent, it's a distraction. And at some point the kid's going to have to, and that's what the parent wants. They want the kid to grow up and be able to handle the situation themselves. Well, in tennis, you're not allowed to be coached. So to stay away in that way, but to be emotionally involved, and also to show your kid that they're interested in the game. Not their daughter's or son's performance, but they're actually walking around watching other matches too and paying attention and appreciating the game for what it is. That's, I think, is the most important.
And I have to ask, because one of my readers has asked me to pose this question. When you were coming up as a junior player, did you use the backboard or the wall as a practice partner?
All the time. Yes, all the time. You play games with yourself. If you can hit every other backhand, forehand, how many times can you do that? How many times can you hit it over the painted line and then past a certain point in the ground that you draw with whatever? Everything. You play points, you serve into the wall, you return it. and you play, you're one person every other shot, you're somebody, and every other shot you're somebody else. So you would be Bjorn Borg on one shot, and then the next shot you're Jimmy Connors, and that's two different ways of hitting the tennis ball. So one would be a flat shot, the next would be a topspin, then a flat shot, then a topspin, and a flat shot. Or you're John McEnroe and you're playing mini tennis and you're not allowed to play from the baseline, but you got to come to the net because that's what he did. If you're Borg, you can't come to the net because he didn't. So all the time.
I love it. And so as you were coming and making that transition from the juniors to the professional circuit, what was the most challenging aspect of that transition?
The most challenging aspect, I think, was that I had a coach at the time, or he coached four of us, to be better in tennis and not go to places because of ranking or points or whatever. But he took all four of us to the same place because this is where we're going, and some of it didn't suit my style at all. Some of the tournaments I didn't really want to play, but he made it very clear to us that it's not about the tournament, it's about the surface. And it's about things that we are going to work on because we're in Australia on grass, and therefore we're going to work on your serve and volley game and your slice backhand. And now we're in Barcelona on Spain, and now we're going to run left, right, left, right, left, right until you puke, and you're going to keep the ball 6 feet to 10 feet over the net past the service line 100 times in a row. So he taught us the game, not how to win. How to win was something we had to put it together ourselves, which I think is another problem that we have with kids, coaches and parents, is that we're trying to explain to them how to play the game. We must explain to them how to hit a ball, but when it comes to where and why they must hit certain shots, they become experts much quicker if they are allowed to explore and fail themselves and then rethink it. I did this the other day, I should do the other way, because somebody tells you this is what you have to do. Well, then you don't understand that you maybe this is not what you have to do because it changes all the time. The best thing is to explore by themselves and make mistakes, and then you figure out and you learn from your mistakes.
You've been in the U.S. quite a while.
Yeah.
There's a lot of talk about the demise of men's tennis in the U.S. What are your thoughts about that and where we're headed?
Oh, I think that I think the reason is that we're trying to compete with less fortunate kids in the world that have maybe a harder upbringing, and their hunger for winning is much bigger. But the American and the Western world kids, they have to have a hunger for learning. And learning is exactly what we do. Learn to play on different surfaces, learn how to hit different shots, learn how to play against different opponents. Because the hunger to win is something you're born with. And it's something that environment has brought you in. And there's no way a Western kid that has everything, all the video games, food on the table, private school, play as much tennis as he wants. In fact, he plays more tennis than he wants to. There's no way that hunger for winning can be the same as somebody who doesn't get enough of tennis. So we have to utilize that time by teaching them every aspect of the game so that they understand that learning is what life is about, and then they can learn in other fields as well, because chances of being a professional tennis player is small. But if you can keep learning in every field, it doesn't matter if it's romance or finances or cleaning your house or driving a car. If you keep learning about things, it keeps things interesting.
Thank you so much for taking time to chat with us today, and I look forward to seeing you around the grounds the rest of the week.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me on the show.